Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you tonight here until midnight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to even join in with us in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We can get you on the air here tonight. And let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless and use the program tonight for your glory. Thank you for a new year that you've given to us. And now we just pray that, again, we might be able to be a blessing, a help to somebody, an encouragement to somebody tonight. And most of all, that somehow the things that we talk about can help point people to Christ that they might be saved. Father, thank you again. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we get to our phone calls here this evening, I want to mention a couple things to get started here tonight. And it just seems like lately we've been hearing a lot about the situation from the shooter in Connecticut, of course, and then other shootings and things like that. We usually hear more of the successful ones. There was a off-duty sheriff's deputy that prevented a shooting in San Antonio. She heard the shooting and she went and she stopped the shooter by shooting him herself. But you don't hear about those ones as much. There was a young woman, I think she's about 30-some years old in Georgia, that recently protected her 2 9-year-old twins as they hid in a closet when an intruder broke into their home. And when he broke into the closet where they were hiding, she was able to shoot him, that caused him to flee the home and saved her life and probably the life of the boys. So you don't hear about those things as much, but of course, any. Murder or homicide, whether it's by gun or otherwise, of course, is a horrible thing. In fact, it's horrible enough that God decreed capital punishment for it. And we're not going to talk so much about capital punishment, but capital punishment is referred to in each of the first five books of the Bible. It's also reinforced in the New Testament, and we might touch on that a little bit a little later on, perhaps. But what I was wanting to get to, and I want to share something with us before we get into our phone calls tonight, and again, 888-677-9673 is our phone number, and that's toll-free. If you're listening anywhere in the U.S., you can give us a call on that number, and we'd love to hear from you with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. But I want to start off, and I've not spent a huge amount of time talking on the Connecticut shootings and on guns and all that. We've talked about a little bit, but I just wanted to make something a point, I guess, make something known here at the start of the program, and before we get off perhaps into other topics and things. But in the United States Constitution, we have the Bill of Rights, First 10 Amendments, and of course, those were passed they were promised in order to secure the support of several states, as well as the Baptists of Virginia. A Baptist pastor in Virginia by the name of John Leland was going to actually challenge Adams to be in a constitutional convention, and they met. You can go online and just type in John Leland and Google his name. You can find out more about him. But they agreed that he would not challenge if the promise of a Bill of Rights was given. One of the reasons for that was the Baptists in Virginia, as well as some people in some of the other states and all, were concerned that the United States, under our Constitution, would have a state religion. And That, if you know anything at all about Baptists, historically, from the first century, Baptists have always resisted the idea of a state religion. And as people have drifted further from the Word of God, one of the things that they've added is this concept of a state religion. And certainly Rome, when Rome adopted Christianity in the 4th century, the Catholic Church as a state church was born, and they tried to enforce that in dissenting churches, which were essentially Baptist churches of their day. They dissented. They did not go along, and because when you have a state religion, the state gets to control what you believe and what you do rather than God, and the state becomes the head of the church rather than Jesus Christ, and the church is founded upon Christ, and he is the head of the church, and we take our marching orders from God, from his word. Well, in the United States, we had some official state churches in some of the colonies, and in Massachusetts colony, the state church persecuted those who would not attend the state church meetings. They imprisoned them. They fined them. They whipped them. At least one person I know of reading about was actually burned in Massachusetts for not being a part of the state church. And some of the dissenters fled. They went to Rhode Island. Rhode Island secured a covenant, a thing so that they could be able to become a colony in their own right. And it was really the first state or the first colony where they had freedom of religion. Now, I want to get back to where I'm at right now, get off on a tangent on some history there. But when the Constitution came around, the promise of the amendments included the very first one. You probably thought I was going to talk about the Second Amendment first and talking about guns, but the first one we have to look at before you can understand the Second Amendment. And if you, like myself, use the King James Version of the Bible, you'll be able to understand better the First Amendment than if you use modern translations. The reason I say that is modern translations break up the long sentences that you find in the King James translation. The modern versions break those up. Now, they do it to the detriment of the Word of God. The King James translators wisely preserved the long sentence structure that was in the original Greek and in the original Hebrew in order to better convey the idea. And there's some complicated ideas with supporting clauses, individual things that help support the sentence. And if you look at the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, most people think, well, it talks about freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to assemble, and the freedom to petition the government for redress of grievances. Now, those are all separate freedoms. And if they were separate sentences, you might have a case there. But if you look carefully at the Bill of Rights, you look carefully at the First Amendment, the First Amendment is one sentence. And this is important. This is what I mean. If you're used to the way the King James Bible is structured, you'll understand this, that when you find the main subject of the sentence, you find that all the other points in there are clauses that support the main point of the sentence. And the main point of this sentence, well, let me just read the sentence, and I'll give you the punctuation here so you can understand it. The First Amendment to the United States Constitution says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, comma, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, semicolon, or abridging the freedom of speech, comma, or of the press, semicolon, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, comma, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, period. You notice that's all one sentence, and here's why. They were worried that there would be a state religion. Now, some churches who had were state churches in some of the colonies or some of the early states, they were worried that they would be out of their position as the state church, because another church, another denomination might become the national church. And so they kind of got on board with this. The Baptists, who didn't want any state church whatsoever, they wanted this because they didn't want to be forced to have to pay to support pastors of other churches or have their children sprinkled by pastors of other churches. And so when you understand the background, it says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's the main part of the First Amendment. And the reason it's all one sentence is because, follow me with this, if you have a state church and you speak against the state church, you're speaking against the state. And you don't have freedom of speech. The only way you can truly have freedom of speech is if you have freedom of religion. Because in countries that have state churches, oftentimes it is illegal, it's treasonous, it's seditious to be able to speak contrary to the doctrines of the state church, because that's contrary to the state itself. And many people have been imprisoned. Many people have been killed because they spoke against. Look at Fox's Book of Martyrs. He chronicles numerous deaths throughout the history of Europe and Christians in Europe of people who spoke against the state church. And then if you do not have freedom of religion, you do not have freedom of the press, which means you do not have the freedom to publish whatever you want. Tyndale was hounded and chased out of England because he dared to publish Bibles that were not official Bibles, and circulars and booklets that were attacking the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church. He was hounded out of England. He fled to the continent, and he had to move constantly. He was finally captured because somebody pretended to be his friend who was actually a spy trying to find him. He was turned in. He was actually put to death for speaking what he thought was true and printing what he thought was true contrary to the state church, which at that time was Catholicism. Not only that, people have been jailed, imprisoned, fined, and even put to death for assembling peaceably to worship. If you don't have freedom of religion, you cannot assemble peaceably if you're not in a state church. And, you know, here's the thing. In the Islamic world, I know that's not Christianity we're talking about here, it's another religion, but many Islamic countries want Sharia law. And in the country of Saudi Arabia, you cannot peaceably assemble to have a Christian church service of any stripe. The government officials will come in, break you up, literally break you up. They'll break up the meeting, break you up. If you're a U.S. citizen, you might be deported, but if you're not fortunate enough to be a U.S. citizen or a British citizen, perhaps, something like that, you might be thrown in jail. You might even be executed because you do not have the right to peaceably assemble when you don't have freedom of religion. And not only that, you can't redress or petition the government for a redress of grievances. So all of these things, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, the freedom to peaceably assemble, and freedom to petition the government for redress of grievances, all of those things stem from having freedom of religion. And that's why freedom of religion, and it says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. This is important. This is the source of our freedom in the Bill of Rights, and this is why this is number one. Now let me go on to Amendment number two. In Amendment number two, it says a well-regulated militia being, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Again, one sentence, but let me break down and define a couple things. Militia, we're going to talk about a little bit more. Militia is the body of free men at that time. You were the militia. because if the military is not there to defend you and your community, if you didn't have police forces to defend you and your community, you and your neighbors constituted the militia. This is not the National Guard. This is not the military reserve forces of any kind. This is the common people. This is the free citizens of the community. They made up the militia. And we're going to come back to that one in a minute. But it said a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Now, what did we see was necessary for a free state? Well, freedom of religion. Because without freedom of religion, you have no freedom of speech, you have no freedom of the press, you have no freedom of the people to peaceably assemble, and you have no freedom of the government or for the people to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So this is what a well-regulated militia, the Second Amendment says, is necessary to secure that freedom, the security of a free state. And it says, in order to do so, then, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And when it talks about the people keeping and bear arms, that's that militia, that's that body of citizens of the state, citizens of the community. What these two amendments tell us is that the founding fathers wanted us to have a free country where you were free to worship in the way that you wanted or not worship. The government could not tell you what to do, what not to do in terms of worship, and you were entrusted. I said, you, as a free citizen of the United States of America, was entrusted with the right to keep and bear arms. And furthermore, with the instruction to the federal government that that should not be infringed on. Hey, I might not be a constitutional scholar, but I didn't have to wait until the Supreme Court finally ruled in a 5-4 decision about a year or two ago that the militia means exactly what the founding fathers said it was, the free citizens of the community. You go back and study the history of our Constitution, you study the writings of the day, and you'll find out exactly what they meant by a militia. It was the free citizens of the community. Now, let me come to what I mean by that. In Exodus chapter 22, and if you've listened to this program, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. But if you've listened for any time, you've probably heard me read Exodus chapter 22 and verse number 2, where the Bible says, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. Now, they didn't have firearms back then, but they had clubs, they had spears, they had swords, they had different things. And the idea here is you find somebody breaking into your home in the middle of the night. You don't have time to call out the local police, if they had any police. You didn't have time to call the government. You didn't have time to dispatch a runner with a message, you know, saying, help, I'm being invaded. I'm suffering a home invasion. You had to defend your own family. You, as a free citizen, had the right and the duty, the responsibility to defend your home. And that's why if you struck the thief and you killed him, no blood was to be shed for him, meaning no retribution. You are innocent of his blood. You're not a murderer. Yes, you took his life, but you legally took it in a way that God gives us the right to do so. Now, you say, well, then you can be a vigilante. No, the very next verse precludes vigilanteism. The next verse, verse 3 in Exodus 22, verse 3 says, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he should be sold for his theft. What he's saying there is, you know who that you see the guy, you get a good look at him, he gets away, and you track him down the next day, and you shoot him with an arrow, you stab him with a sword, you run him through with a spear, you whack him over the head with a club, whatever you do, and you kill him, you just acted as a vigilante, and now you're a murderer. See, you should have went to the authorities. But see, when the guy's breaking into your house, like this woman in Georgia who had a man breaking into her house, she was talking to her husband on the phone at the time. And this was in Loganville, Georgia, I think it was. And she was talking to her husband on the phone, and he called 911 while his wife and his two sons hid in the closet. And the police may have been on their way, but I guarantee when he opened the closet door and she had a .38 revolver sticking out at him and opened fire on him, she wasn't waiting for the police to get there. She didn't know when the police were going to be there. The police may have been at her door. They may have been just pulling into her driveway. They may have been a mile away. They may have been 5 miles away. She didn't know where they were. All she knew is she was the only thing standing between her 2 9-year-old sons. And she had a .38 revolver. She opened fire. She struck him 4 times in the face and neck. He stumbled out of the home. He tried to flee. He crashed his car and collapsed in a neighbor's driveway and was taken to the hospital. And the Walton County Sheriff, Joe Chapman, told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, said a thief opened the closet door, found himself staring down the barrel of a .38 revolver. The husband of the woman said, "My wife is a hero. She protected her kids. She did what she was supposed to do as a responsible, prepared gun owner." And, you know, when the anti-gun crowd gives you the numbers of all these deaths by guns, they're very misleading. There's actually less than 400, there's like 300 and some homicides a year, I think. Let me see here if I remember this. With rifles, for instance, and then there's a number of other ones with handguns, but the number of deaths that they give you, 2/3 of those firearms deaths are actually suicides, self-inflicted wounds. They're suicides, and they include them. Another group that they include in there, this person apparently did not die, this suspect. They were arrested at the hospital, and they're expected to survive. And if he was to die, he would be also included in that number of firearms deaths. But it's quite a bit different than if he had shot the woman and her children. And no, this woman did what she did. She was in the home. It was being a thief was breaking up and came in. She smote him that he didn't die in this case. Now she chases him down, goes to the hospital and shoots him and finishes the job. She is a murderer. But she defended her children, which is what she was supposed to do. And the Second Amendment gives us that right. To defend our homes, to defend our families. But more importantly than that, and this is what we miss a lot of times, the Second Amendment gives us the ability to defend ourselves and our freedom so that we can preserve the security of a free state. Without the Second Amendment, you have no First Amendment. Without the Second Amendment, you do not have freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to peaceably assemble, and these things, the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. The Second Amendment guarantees the first. And, I really do see it coming. That President Obama is going to start moving to try and restrict the Second Amendment and perhaps even try to repeal the Second Amendment in some fashion. And you can see people talking about repealing the Second Amendment. It isn't a coincidence, I don't think, that when he campaigned for his first term, he talked about those people that cling bitterly to their guns and Bibles. Because if he can repeal the Second Amendment, he can repeal the First Amendment. And, well, that's my thought. No, I talked a little bit longer here than usual today, but I just wanted to mention some of those things. These are things that we need to be concerned about as Christians. As a Bible-believing Christian, I'm vitally concerned about that because it directly affects my freedom to be on the radio. It directly affects my freedom to pastor my church and to preach the Word of God and to believe what I want to believe. And I support that First Amendment, and I support that Second Amendment. All right. Well, I know we had a couple people calling in here, and we're going to start getting some people on. I think we just got a minute or two before the bottom of the hour break, and we'll go with Jim since he's been holding the longest. Jim, you're on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Welcome.
Welcome, Pastor. How are you?
Hi. Good to hear from you tonight.
Yeah, good to hear from you. I talked to you actually last week.
Yes, sir. Talk about salvation, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah. You had a great memory. You know what? You had a good point. You opened the show, a good dialogue about, you know, about the amendment, and basically you brought the point where this is where this is going with this, you know, you broke it all down, what's really going on. So Obama's after the, if he's after the gun law, he is going to go after the freedom law.
Oh, absolutely. If the Second Amendment goes, the First Amendment goes. Because, you know, think about it. How are you going to prevent an overthrow of the first, or, you know, the repeal of the First Amendment, or the overthrow of our country? You know, Hitler had plans for invading the United States during World War II. One of the things that kept him from doing it was the presence of guns in this country. The Japanese also did, and they said there's a gun behind every blade of grass in America. The Soviet Union during the Cold War thought about it, and the guns in America gave them pause for doing it. In the 60s, we had some people going down the street stealing batteries and things like that. My dad and another guy in the street, warned them off with shotguns and even shot a few times at them. And when they got caught by the police, they said, "We're never going down that street again because there's too many people with guns and they're willing to use them." It protected our freedom and safety. And that's what the free citizens of this country are supposed to do. And Jim, you're absolutely right. Real quick, if you got something to say, we're coming up on the break there.
Should I hold and come back?
I'm sure we can try to get you back afterwards. And again, we've got another half hour. We'll be here till midnight. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us.
www.mapleknoll.us, or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And we will be with you here. And, of course, you can always listen to this program streaming live on, WHKW. I lost my thing there. WHKWradio.com. I drew a blank there for just a moment, but that's one of the benefits of live radio. You get to hear when I draw a blank here. But, of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, and also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road, that's State Route 82, in the center of North Royalton. And you can visit Frank's Antiques in North Royalton on Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday, noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can call Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton at 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393, and let him know that you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And, of course, pray for us. We enjoy being able to be on, and hopefully we challenge you to think a little bit, and we challenge you to look into the Bible with an open mind rather than a closed mind, and to allow God to speak to you. We try to point people to Christ, but we also try to help people make sense of what's happening in the world. That's why we talk about Bible questions as well as questions about current events in light of God's Word. And you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air. We have a couple of callers waiting, and we'll get to them in just a moment here. Also, I encourage you, check out our website, live.mapleknoll.us. That's live.mapleknoll.us. You can just put in Google if you want, you know, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You'll probably find it there too. But on that website, and again, I caution you, if you're using Internet Explorer, please get Chrome or get Firefox or something. Internet Explorer will not let you see all of our website. We only found this out recently. We have some books available on there. One is Who Is This Jesus? A series of essays about Christ and about the work and the nature of Jesus Christ. And that's on there. $2.99, you can get that as an ebook. You can follow the link there and download it. And the sale of that book helps this program directly. And we also have another one, Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War. That's also available on there. And that's also $2.99 for an ebook download. And if you can't find it there, Google those books as well, The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War, as well as Who Is This Jesus? And if you purchase one of those books, you get a book, an ebook, and we get a little support for the radio program. That way you don't have to just send us money. If you want to send us money, if you got $1 million lying around, you know, you don't know what to do with, send it in. I'll split it with Derek, who's working in on the screen there. He's all for that. So just let him know you want to send $1 million. I'll give him a dime and keep the rest. No. But or since we've been talking about guns, if you don't want to send money, just send your guns if you want to get rid of them. We'll take them too. I'll split them with Derek as well. But I can give you a tax write off for those two with the church. But well, let's get back to our program. But at any rate, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We were talking to Jim just before the break. We got another caller lined up as well, and you can get in. Our phone lines are open. Jim, we'll get back to you here. Are you still with us?
Yes.
All right, welcome back.
Let me make a point on what's going on. You mentioned about the Connecticut.
Right.
Was that Newtown, Connecticut?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, And what my pastor was talking about, and he was talking about how Satan hates children.
Yes,
you know,
he does.
Jesus loved the little children.
Exactly.
And Satan hates children.
Oh, yeah.
This is his plan.
Why do you think there's so many abortions?
The children. Yeah. Go ahead.
I said, why do you think there's so many abortions? Just what you said.
Right, right, right. And then you talk about the gun law.
Uh-huh.
He's trying to use this gun law to complicate things. He's really trying to confuse them because the gun law that people are going and murdering, that's nothing but Satan.
Exactly. And if you notice, most of these people that do these mass shootings, they're psychotic. And nobody talks about the mental illness. This guy in Connecticut, he was messed up in the head. I mean, the guy that shot up the theater in Aurora, Colorado, if you saw his pictures on television, either he was going for the crazy plea, crazy defense, or he's legitimately crazy. He's messed up in the head. What about that congresswoman, Giffords? Remember when she was shot down in Arizona?
Yeah.
That guy was something off in his head. And, you know, when I talk about people being mentally ill or psychotic or whatever, I've talked with a number of people, Christians, who have worked in mental hospitals over the years and worked with psychotic patients and all that. And, you know, one of the things that helps us resist the influence of the devil oftentimes is the will. And in some of these psychotic patients, and especially with some of the drugs that they use to treat them, you know, the ability of the will to resist, you know, the leading of the devil to do things. I mean, he said, you go to some of these psych wards, and it's almost demonic just being in there. And I'm not saying everybody who's got mental illness is demon-possessed. Don't go away and say that. I didn't say that.
Pastor Al, I got experience about that. That's part of my testimony.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that my girlfriend wasn't on her medication. She ended up getting locked up and everything. But the thing is it's like when she was off her medication, Satan was able to attack her.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, one of the reasons why the devil likes people to get messed up on drugs and everything is if you notice in a lot of religions, drugs are the avenue to spiritual enlightenment. And people on a number of drugs, whether it be LSD or mescaline or any just about anything, they remember the Indians, the North American Indians with peyote, they meet spirit beings. Well, those spirit beings are nothing more than fallen angels disguising
right.
themselves as spirit guides and ascended masters. And
right.
and when you look at transcendental meditation, all that, what do they tell you? Empty your mind. Don't think. Don't
right.
Exercise
control.
Your will.
Control. Same got control.
Yeah, and you are opening your mind to allowing the devil to control and influence. And he's always trying to do it. He uses whatever means he can do.
Well, anyway, I've been praying, and the bottom line is that there was a law in the hospital where I couldn't talk to her. And what happened was is I've been praying, and the Lord's power in prayer got her back on her medication and back home. You know?
Well, and we need to pray for people. That's absolutely right. And
it was the power of prayer. And the thing is that she came home, and I've been praying for her, and she seen, you know, my God, she was Catholic, and she figured that there was no power in her Catholic, and she's been really seeking the Bible, and she went to my, you know, to my Christian church that teaches sanctification, you know, the gospel,
mm-hmm.
and she's getting a lot more out of it. So that's, you know, she needs spiritual help. We all do.
Right, right. Well, and we need Christ. We need God in our lives. And he comes in. He changes us from the inside out. 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul
Amen.
Wrote, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind."
Right.
Jim, I'm going to have to let you go. I got more callers waiting up, and we're going
to
run out of time here.
Thanks
yeah.
for having me on
hey,
the show.
Hey, thank
right?
you, and I appreciate you waiting so long. God bless. Have a good New Year's. All right, we've got John in Cleveland waiting as well. John, welcome.
Hi.
Hello, John.
Yes, hi.
Hi, welcome.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
Good, good. Sorry to keep you waiting. I was long-winded in the first half, but we're getting down through our list now.
we'll try to straighten things out here.
Okay.
So, in other words, you're saying that you couldn't have the First Amendment without having the Second Amendment?
The Second Amendment helps ensure the First Amendment. It helps keep the First Amendment. The Second Amendment, you have to remember, the purpose of the Constitution was to limit the federal government. And the purpose of the Bill of Rights was to further limit and constrain the federal government. These were not limits on the people or the states. These were limits on the federal government, because the founding fathers were worried that a central government would become like the government in England that they rebelled against in the first place.
But are you saying that you can't have the First Amendment without the Second? Is that what you're
I'm saying the First Amendment would not is not defensible without the Second. The First Amendment could easily be gotten rid of without the Second, because the people ultimately are the check against a federal government run amok. And that's why the president every 4 years has to answer at the ballot box. Now, did he get reelected? Yes, he did. I wish that he hadn't. I didn't vote for him. But he was elected, and I have to go with that. The Congress certified the Electoral College results. He will be sworn in here in a couple of weeks, and he's got another 4 years. And in another 4 years, the Constitution says he can't run again. Now, what if he demands that he runs or refuses to leave office? You know, what are we going to do? Well, we appeal to the federal or to the Constitution. What if he ignores the Constitution? He's already several times said that he thinks the Constitution is antiquated and needlessly restricts the things that he wants to do. He's voiced his opinion that he'd like to not be fettered by the Constitution. Well, if somebody ultimately ignores the Constitution, well, according to the Founding Fathers, the Second Amendment was our final defense. And that's the security of a free state. And the presence of armed militia, the free citizens of these United States can act as a pretty significant constraint on a president taking over and declaring himself a dictator. He'd have to disarm us, just like Hitler did to the German people, just like Mao did to the Chinese people, just like they did, Pol Pot, I believe, did to the Cambodian people, I think it was, and on, the Turks disarmed the Armenians before they slaughtered them, on and on and on. You look at history, before becoming a dictator, they would try to disarm the people so there would be no resistance to them. So go back with your points.
I guess I'm wondering, before Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, are you saying that the black people weren't allowed to practice religion without the use of arms?
No. Where do you get that?
Well, you said you can't have the First Amendment without the backing of the Second, and
in the South, if you study history, a lot of the black slaves went to church with their white owners in the same churches, actually. And many of the white owners encouraged their slaves to go to church. You know, part of the reason why was, one, it gave them an outlet, the worship services and things of that nature. Many of the typical, and I don't want to get off into slavery and all that sort of stuff. I'm certainly not justifying slavery, but I was going to say many of the owners worked in the field side by side with the slaves.
The point I was trying to make was, even though they practiced their religion, they weren't allowed to carry guns.
Oh, and that was wrong. And slavery was something that we eventually did away with, and I'm thankful for it.
Some of my ancestors
came to this servant as slaves. Yeah, I'm white. Indentured servants were slaves. Did you know in the 1600s that there were more Irish slaves sold in the world than African slaves? Most people don't know that. Did you know that even as recently as the 1700s at least, Arab slave traders would come across the coast of Britain and capture English and Welsh and Scottish and Irish kids and haul them down to North Africa and sell them as slaves? The North Africans, the Arab Africans, were the biggest slave traders and owners in the world. And in fact, many of them didn't get rid of slavery until just recent years.
But I guess the point I'm making is when they wrote the Constitution, when they wrote the Second Amendment, it didn't apply to black people.
Well, that was a problem, and that does now. It does now. thankfully, last I heard, we fought a war in the middle of the 1800s. And part of the results of that war is black people and white people and brown people have the right to keep and bear arms because, thankfully, our country got some things right and declared slaves were now no longer slaves but free human beings, free citizens of these United States. And, coincidentally, the Democrats in the South after the Civil War did not want the blacks to be armed. And they tried to do everything they could to instill gun control to keep former slaves from exercising their newfound freedom. Did you catch that, John? They wanted the former slaves to not have guns because they didn't want them to exercise their freedom. But they were able to get guns, and eventually many of them were able to finally live free.
The point I was making was that the black people were allowed to practice their religion before the Constitution was
But because they were permitted... Because they're permitted, we're not really getting very far, John. They were permitted to practice, but if their owners, we're gonna have to let you go. I got more callers coming, but if their owners had said they could not practice religion, they had no defense. They were permitted by people who had the guns. And then later on, when they were allowed to have guns, the people who did not want them to really be free tried to keep guns away from them. And as I said, every wannabe dictator first tries to disarm the population because they instinctively recognize there are people who will defend your right to the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, all these things. And whether or not you agree with them, whether or not you agree with us, we're out there willing to defend people's rights. And, that's what made this country free. We have the right to free speech. We have the right to disagree. And there's nothing in the Constitution that says we have to agree on everything. Nothing in the Constitution that says we can't disagree. And so we're going to get on to our next caller, though, but appreciate that call. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We have Carl in Cleveland calling in. And Carl, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, welcome.
Hey, this is the first time I've listened to your program.
Hey, we're glad to have you. Thanks for calling.
I stumbled upon it, and I wanted to tell you that I basically agree with 100% of every word that came out of your mouth tonight.
Well, that's always nice to hear. I'll pay you later for that. No.
Okay. I want to recommend a documentary film that's on YouTube. Maybe you have watched it and recommended it. I don't know. It's called Innocence. That's INNOCENTS, Betrayed, BETRAYED.
Innocence Betrayed.
Innocence Betrayed. It's available on YouTube. Just type that in and it'll come up several different places. It is the film documenting the some 170 million murders of people in countries where firearms were confiscated. And it talks about Hitler and Mao, and it just goes through about maybe 8 or 10 different countries, North Korea, where the people were disarmed, and one after another, murder after murder. They estimate the total to be about 170 million people betrayed, or rather murdered after they were disarmed by these communist governments. And it's a documentary. It's 58 minutes long. It's free. I think every American who doesn't have their mind made up about the Second Amendment and the importance of keeping the citizenry armed, not to protect themselves just from criminals, but it's also intended that we be able to protect ourselves against a corrupt, tyrannical government as well.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And that's Innocence Betrayed, a YouTube documentary. And I appreciate the recommendation on that. And if people don't think they have time to watch the whole video, let me give you another site here that you can look at something that'll open your eyes in a quick glance. It's called the Genocide Chart and the Gun Control Genocide Chart. And if you go online to jpfo.org, that's J as in Jesus, P as in people, F as in future, O as in opportunity, jpfo.org, O-R-G. And you'll see it on there, the link to the gun control genocide chart. And it's got some of that information in a little chart there. That'll if you've not seen it before, it'll really open your eyes to what's going on out there. It's like you said, it's no coincidence that people try to disarm the free citizens of a country before they take over. I'd like to say I'm the average pastor out there saying these sorts of things, but unfortunately, a lot of these denominational churches, they don't echo what I'm saying. They sound more like some of our other caller, you know, gun control. I'm an independent Baptist.
Like Pastor Sanders?
Yeah, well, yeah, similar. We're independent, so we are a little different, but I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. And one of the historic positions of the independent fundamental Baptists have been just that, independence of the state, independence of a denominational hierarchy. And that's been a Baptist position all the way from the first century. And unfortunately, some Baptists have bought into, working and letting the government control everything and bought into gun control and all of that. But I understand history. We have the First and Second Amendment. First Amendment in particular because of the Baptist in Virginia, and the Second Amendment also was influenced by that, and we see that throughout history. I don't have time to get into all the historical studies, but somebody out there with an open mind can look at it, and I think if they look at that Innocent Betrayed video on YouTube, they'll probably see some more links from that. And there's certainly some good sites out there. Carl, I really appreciate you giving us a call here tonight. Hope you'll keep listening.
I'll be tuning back in.
Oh, great.
I listen to Reverend Sanders.
All right. Well, we're going to probably differ with him a little bit from time to time on point to point, but that's because we're independent Baptists.
I don't
have to check in with him. He don't have to check in with me. We're both trying to interpret the Word of God and apply it to the world around us as best we can, led by the Holy Spirit.
I give you credit for bravely speaking the truth.
Well, and that's what we thank God we have the opportunity. And, you know, a lot of people just don't understand. If it wasn't for these freedoms that we have in our Constitution, you might not be able to do this. I doubt that I could go to Canada right now in the current climate and do it there. It's just, it's sad to say. But, we need to defend these freedoms. And if we don't, we could easily lose them. And I think the call me paranoid, but I believe that the Second Amendment attacks on it is a slippery slope to attacking the First Amendment. And once we can start attacking these things and get rid of the Constitution, well, we're a dictatorship. And we'll have to. Hopefully, the Lord will come before then, and we'll be in heaven.
My prayer list.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. We're on every Sunday night, 11 till midnight, and then we're on Friday afternoons from 1:30 in the afternoon until 2. A whole different program, live with Pastor Al, and probably talk more there. We don't have as much time for phone calls, but appreciate your calling us tonight, Carl. We're about out of time. And again, appreciate that reference to Innocence Betrayed, the video on YouTube. Hope people will take a look at that and check out that genocide, gun control genocide chart at the website jpfo.org. And I have to link some of these things onto our radio website, giving you all this information. We'll have some more information at the close, including our church information and all that. But pray for us. People want to know how they can help us and how they can help us stay on the air. It takes your prayers. We're a small church. We're probably smaller than most of your Sunday school classes if you were at church today. And we're a small church, but God's given us an opportunity, an open door. Well, we're out of time, and Lord willing, be back with you Friday and next Sunday. Good night. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.